Okay, you are tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is a special show because I have special guest in the studio right now, singer Cheryl Swope, who is going to be talking about her musical career and her history, so it should be interesting. You should definitely keep tuned. So, first of all, thanks so much for coming down and being here in the studio.
Oh, thanks so much, Bob, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So, I always start off by asking people, are you originally from Chicago?
Actually, I am born and raised on the west side of Chicago.
And how did you get involved with singing initially?
Actually, singing has always been a part of me. When I was young, about maybe two or three years old, my mom said I could sit at the piano and play songs, not banging like a child would play. And it started from then. I became a part of a dancing school. In addition to dancing, we used to do theatrical shows.
When did you get involved with dancing?
When I was three, actually. That's when I started. Yes, I started actually then. And they had, I don't know if you're young enough or old enough to know about Club de Lisa, but I was the baby of the year when I was three. I brought the new year in. And I guess that was when the show business bug bit.
I had somebody a few weeks ago bragging about how he was 11 and played at the Club de Lisa, but you beat
him. Uh-oh, I beat him. 3 years old. I was the New Year baby that year.
Do you remember what year was that?
Gosh, let's see. I was born in, now I'm telling my age, right? I was born in 48, so that would have been 51.
Okay, so you've been singing for, you started in the 50s even singing.
Yes.
So did you ever sing, was that your first, I guess the first time you sang professionally when you were 3 years old?
Actually, I don't think I sang then, but I just brought the new year in. They had a special thing that they would do. And, of course, my uncle was a part of Red Saunders Orchestra at that time, Sonny Cone. And he played trumpet, so I don't know if that was my initiation or not, but he brought me to the club to bring the new year in. So
was he the main musical member of your family, your uncle?
Yes. Well, actually, my mom, too, played piano.
Okay.
Yes, so I guess music is in our veins.
Okay. So you said you were involved with a dance school?
Sammy Dyer School of the Theater. At the beginning, before Sammy Dyer passed away, it was just Sammy Dyer Dancing School on 34th and Michigan, I believe, is where it was originally located.
So your mom started taking you there when you were like three, pretty much?
Very young.
And so you had been dancing throughout your childhood and singing?
Yes, I studied tap, ballet, acrobatics, and later on, you know how you progress into Afro-Cuban and modern dance.
Okay.
Yes. So we covered the spectrum.
So, and did you ever sing? Like, did you sing in church? Or what instances did you sing at the school? Like,
I sang at the dancing school, and then I sang in school, you know, in grammar school and in high school, too.
So what, like, how did you sing in school? Were there, like, a talent show?
Yes. You know, when you perform, when they have the talent shows and things like that, I would perform.
What high school did you go to? I know a lot of people went to school, remember you?
Okay, I went to McKinley Elementary School, and I went to Crane High School.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone I know who went to Crane around the time you did always was like, I went to school with Cheryl Swope. Like, you're in the yearbook and all
the
pages.
Yes, because I was actually there before my time, too. My sisters were always cheerleaders. And my grandmother was, you would say, the sponsor of the team because she would drive them to the game. So I was like the mascot. So at the basketball games, I was tumbling, you know, doing the flip-flops and, you know, all of that kind of stuff with the cheerleaders.
I think I saw a picture of you in one of your books dressed in the cheerleaders.
Okay.
Cheerleaders.
Okay.
And you had, I think you also had some title, like mayor of the school?
Oh, yeah. Actually, in high school, I became the mayor of the school my senior year.
So what was the mayor of the school?
We called our school, we considered Crane High School, it was a city. So that's why we had mayor rather than president of the student council.
Okay, so you were head of the whole city.
Head of the school, yes.
So when did you first get an opportunity to record? Was it when you were in high school?
No, actually it was after high school. I think it would have been in about 68 maybe. My first year back from college, I was working. I had started a job at the radio station.
Which station?
Radio station WVON.
Okay.
And WSDM at the time. Yes, both owned by Chess Records.
So what were you doing at the station?
I was receptionist. Then I wrote copy.
Okay.
And I progressed to secretary to the sales department. I just progressed along the way. Yeah, but that was my initial start. When I first recorded, I met Charles Atkins, Deke Atkins, who was the head of the label that you...
Duo Records.
Duo Records, yes, yes.
So he saw you at the radio station?
He saw me and would talk to me all the time, and then I think somebody told him that I could sing, so one day he asked me to sing for him. And I sang for him, and he was very impressed.
Okay.
And so he said, oh, maybe we need to sit down and talk. You know, I'd like to record you.
And just one more question. Have you ever been... Like, were you always a solo artist that time? Had you ever sang with a group, or were you always, like, when you sang in talent shows, you were always as a solo artist?
A solo artist then. But sometimes I sang, we would do the doo-wop thing,
yeah.
And I would be the only female with
male backing.
Yes, yes.
Which is interesting, because that's how your records ended up,
yes,
too. They,
yes,
was,
yes.
They had a you lead with male group backing.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I want to play the first record that Deke Atkins recorded on you. This track was called Let's Get This Show on the Road.
That was it.
And we could talk a little bit more after this. So
okay.
This is Cheryl Swope with Let's Get This Show on the Road. Okay, that was just Cheryl Swope with her first record that was released called Let's Get This Show on the Road. And do you remember where you recorded that record?
I was just trying to remember that. I know I did it with Eddie Silvers.
Okay.
And I want to say Columbia. I want to say Columbia.
There was
a recording studio, yes, down north of Lakeshore Drive.
And were you excited to have a record out finally?
Oh, yes. It was very exciting. And when I heard it on the radio for the first time, of course, you know, you're just blown away. They're playing my music.
So it got play on the radio.
Oh, yes. And it did all right on the charts, too.
And did you start actually doing shows based on the record?
Mm-hmm. I did. What? I did. Like club affairs and...
Like clubs in Chicago?
In Chicago, yes.
You remember some of the clubs you played at?
I can remember the High Chaparral or something like that.
It's like 79th and Stony.
Let's see. A lot of the other ones were like smaller, you know, clubs where DJs would come in and introduce their music to, like, they used to have dance sets around the city and stuff like that.
Are you talking about like record hops? Or?
Yeah, something like that. And I did a lot of stuff with Herb Kent, too.
Okay, like record hops for Herb Kent.
Uh-huh.
Did you go to any of the high schools with her?
Did that too. Yes,
okay.
Yes, did that too. Yes.
And all that came out, you were about a year or two out of school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the second record that Deke Atkins released on you, I think, became your biggest hit as a solo artist.
Yes.
And it was called Can't Get Him Off My Mind.
Yes.
And one thing I noticed about that and the later records he released on you was that they were written and produced by the Brothers of Soul out of Detroit.
Yes.
And you could actually hear them singing back up
in the background. Yes.
Do you remember, did you record those records also in Chicago, or do you remember where they were recorded?
I want to say we went to New Jersey to do those.
Because I know the Oncoming Time stuff was in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. I think we did them in I think we did those there too as well. Mhm. We did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me play the second record because I really like this record.
Okay.
And we could talk some more. This is Cheryl Swope with Can't Get Him Off My Mind. Okay, that was Cheryl Swope with her second solo record and biggest hit that was called Can't Get Him Off My Mind, and it had an excellent Chicago type of sound. And it had writing and backup singing by the Brothers of Soul, who were out of Detroit, but who worked with a lot of Chicago artists like Ruby Andrews and Candace Love. So, but you said you went to New Jersey to record that.
Yes.
Do you remember how that came about?
Actually, it was through my manager at that time, Deke Atkins, had an affiliation with Joe Robinson and Sylvia. Remember?
She had Pillow Talk. And
Pillow Talk, yeah. Yes.
There was Mickey and Sylvia.
Yes. That's them. So that's how we got, you know, introduced. That's how I met them, actually. They Deke wanted them to hear me, and they wanted to do a couple of songs on me when we went up there. So that's how, basically, that came about.
So I guess there was a lot of connections, given that it was like Chicago, Detroit, and New Jersey.
Yes. The hookup.
So do you remember that was your biggest hit in Chicago, right?
Yes, it was.
Did it get on the charts at
VON? It did. It was on the charts. I think I even have those, the soul sheets that they used to have.
The number that it hit.
Because it went pretty high up. Went pretty high up, like 3 or 2 or something like that, you know. Yeah, for a couple of weeks in succession, you know. It was quite impressive.
Yeah, especially you could tell a song like that, it was so Chicago sounding, like
you get
a lot of play.
Had that flavor.
Did you know if you got any play in other cities?
Yes, I did.
What cities, you know?
I think almost Deke was a promotion manager anyway.
Okay.
So, and all of his area was the South. Well, I guess he did New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia. I think he did California. It was quite a...
So you're saying he promoted it all over the U.S.?
Yes, all over the U.S., yes. Uh-huh.
And he released a couple more records on you. One of them was called Run to Me and Meet Me. Was Run to Me the A side of that?
I think Meet Me was.
Okay.
I think Meet Me was, yes.
And then he released one more record on you.
One Moment, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, the other one I told you wrong. It was Run to Me and Are You Gonna Do Right This Time.
This Time, right.
And then the last one was Meet Me in One Moment. And One Moment was the A side of that one, right?
Yes, it was.
And they were all really nice records with
similar sound. Yes.
So on any of those records, did you still mainly just did local clubs to promote it? Did you ever tour?
I didn't really tour to promote the records, no, I didn't. I don't know why, but I didn't.
Do you remember did you ever open for any bigger acts or play with any other acts at local clubs?
I opened for Brooke Benton.
Okay.
At the High Chaparral.
Okay.
I've done shows with Donny Hathaway.
Okay.
We did a few places together. I did some shows with Jackie Wilson. When we toured with, now, this is the group now that I'm speaking of.
Oh, the Bastionettes.
Yes.
Okay, well.
Yeah, we actually toured with Jackie Wilson for a while. We did Sacramento, California, and Lake Tahoe.
Okay, well, let's get into that. So what were the Bastionettes? Because it wasn't just a vocal group, right?
Right. Well, originally we were dancers. But in that time, you could not only, you know, it wasn't enough to be able to dance. You had to be able to sing and to dance. So that's basically how I became to be a part of the Bastionettes. I was in the dancing school. And then we had Generations. So my sisters were the generation before me, and they were the original Bastionettes. So at that time, I was a junior Bastionette. But then when I turned 18, then that gave me an inroad. And because I had the singles, they needed a lead singer. So myself and another young lady, Nancy Goley, became the lead singers for the Bastionettes group, which eventually became the Oncoming Times.
So I'm a little confused because when you cut those solo records, how old were you? Were you about 20, something like that?
Between 18 and 20-something, yes.
And when did you start singing with the Bastionettes?
I think my first trip with them, when we went on tour, was Acapulco, actually, in 1970.
Okay.
Yes.
So you didn't start singing with them until after your solo records.
Right.
So can you explain a little bit more? There was a dance school, and they had a group called the Vachonettes that were the dancers there.
Yes.
Did they have other groups too, or was
yes.
that their...
Originally, the first group out of Sammy Dyer School was the Dyerettes. Now, they were the eldest group of all the groups. They were the ones that Shirley Hall Bass, which later I trained under her, that was the group that she toured with. And they did big tours all over the United States.
And can you explain also what types of things they did on the tour? Because, you know, it's hard for a younger person like me to understand, they were like a dancing and
they
a singing
dancing,
group.
Yes, and they were extraordinary.
Was it like Broadway kind of like?
Similar, but they were also, first of all, they were very beautiful women.
Okay.
And they danced so well. They did all kinds of gymnastic tricks. So they were very versatile. So they were show openers, like showgirls, actually.
Okay.
But really talented showgirls. Not just the beautiful looks, but they could actually perform. And they had a comedian in the group, so it was a total performance.
And they played like upscale type of clubs, like
absolutely.
Like Vegas. And
yes.
Was it mainly for white audiences?
Yes.
And did they sing while dancing? How did
they
work?
Now they weren't singers; they were basically dancers. So
okay.
They were performers, basically performers.
And then there was a second group called the Vachonettes.
And all of these names, Dyerette is after Sammy Dyer. And then his middle name was Vashon.
Okay.
So that's how the Vachonettes became.
That's interesting. Yes.
They're all named after him. So that was the next generation.
So when did the first version of the Vachonettes form?
They probably formed in the early 60s. And they used to perform at, there was a club called Roberts Showcase. And they performed with Sammy Davis Jr. and all of the stars, Sarah Vaughan and Brooke Benton and all of the greats of that particular time, George Kirby, they were performers then.
So they would play
they
at
would
like
open,
classy nightclubs in Chicago.
Yes.
And they would dance mainly
before
the main act came on.
And everyone knew they were from the dancing school because even with the Tivoli and the Regal Theater, they always wanted dancers from the Sammy Dyer School because they knew that we were excellent dancers.
Where was the school located?
The school was located on 34th and Michigan. It used to be 3447 South Michigan.
Were there a lot of members of the school?
Oh, yes. We used to have a big cast of members because they would not only do, when we did productions, it was like a big production, not just recital type. We had theatrical performances.
Okay.
Yes. So it was the first, Sadie Bruce was one dancing school that was really big at the time, and then Sammy Dyer was the other. And these were the first black schools in Chicago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So was everybody black, all the students pretty much?
Well, we had cross, you know.
Okay.
And
but pretty much only the top dancers were in the Vachonettes,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So the original dance group, about how many people were in it?
There were about 13 or 14.
13 or 14 dancers.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so sometime in the late 60s, there a singing group called the Vachonettes, which I think are maybe the people I showed you a photo of,
yes.
released a record on Checker Records called A Mighty Good Lover and Love. And you were telling me you don't sing on those records.
No, I wasn't in the group at that particular time.
But the photo I showed you had four people, so that was probably the singing group and not the dancing group, right?
Right. They sang and danced. That's when they started singing. Yes.
Do you remember who the four people were in that photo?
They were in the pictures that you showed me. Bobby Vester, Sonia Frank, Ernestine Williams, and Yvonne Morey.
And do you think you joined the group shortly after that record came out? That record came out maybe 67, 68?
Yeah, right. Because we were, my first trip was in the 70s when we went to Acapulco.
So
that was when we were put together. Yes.
So you said you started out as a junior Vachonette?
I was a junior first,
So
yes.
Were the junior Vachonettes also dancers?
Yes.
And so were the singing group like a subset of the dancing groups? Like some of the dancers were also singers?
Yes.
So at the show, like how did it work? Like did the dancers dance while the singers sang? Or was there a dancing part and a singing part?
Incorporated it all together. Some were just singers. Some were dancers and singers.
Okay.
But the versatility was always there.
So you stayed with the Dyer School while you were working at WVON and mm-hmm. while you were had a solo career too.
Mm-hmm.
So you would do it like after work. At, mm-hmm. Like, would you go every day to practice dancing?
Actually, after a while, we used to have dancing during the week and on the weekends, and then after a while, we started to have just classes on Saturdays. But it would be all day on Saturdays.
Okay.
Yes, but usually we'd have 2 days a week of dancing, you know, for 2 hours.
And at that time you were a junior Vachonette.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you were a junior Vachonette, did you also do shows and recitals and stuff mm-hmm. as a junior Vachonette?
Mm-hmm. And then we performed in nightclubs as well, like club affairs, when they would give club affairs. And, you know, they had, the club thing was very big in Chicago around that time. So when the different social groups would have club affairs, they would always hire us to be the entertainment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Both the junior ones and
yes,
the senior.
Yes, that's how we got our exposure and our experience, yes.
So around late 60s, they actually had you join the senior group
mm-hmm.
as a singer, or you also danced?
Singing and dancing, yes.
So at that point, did you want to continue your solo career also, or what was the story? Did you decide to go as a singing group?
Well, I decided to join the group, so then I sort of put my career on hold to do that.
Okay.
To tour and stuff.
So originally you didn't even intend to be actually they had recorded that one record, Love,
mm-hmm.
I guess before you joined.
Yeah.
But when you joined, you weren't even joining as like a recording group, mainly as a performing group.
Right.
So when you joined, you said you did a first tour around 1970.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where was that tour again? I know you mentioned
Acapulco. Acapulco. So you can imagine that, right? My first tour out. It was fabulous. It was fabulous.
Do you remember, was it just the Vachonettes, or did you have a whole review?
Actually, we just had the Vachonettes at that time. We had a musical director that traveled with us. That was Byron Bowie. And we would hire, you know, they would use the club musicians to play for us and everything. So it was pretty much, we were like headliners for the shows.
And how long were you in Acapulco?
I think that maybe about two months the first time out.
And when you were there, like what was the, first of all, at the club, like was it tourists at the club mainly?
Yes, tourists and the people that lived there, yes. But it was a tourist attraction because it was on the strip where the hotels and things were.
So can you describe like what one of the shows would have been like? Like was there both singing and dancing, and what types of songs you sang?
Like
show tunes or what?
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, our biggest, we had remember Aquarius?
The age of Aquarius,
yes. Let the Sunshine, yes.
Okay.
So we did that. That was real big at that time. We translated, we put most of them, we did songs like You Got Me Going in Circles.
Okay, so they were like pop soul songs.
Yes, pop songs, yes.
But they weren't show tunes, though.
No, not show tunes
okay.
then. No, not so much show tunes then, no. They were the popular songs of the era, you know, that we performed, and yeah.
And did you even do some songs in Spanish?
Yes, we would have to learn, try to do at least one or two songs in Spanish, and the people would just go wild when we did that. They loved it.
So, and that was around 1970, and then you came back to Chicago.
Yes.
And where were some of the other places you toured?
Then the next time out, we did a tour of South America, and we went to Lima, Peru, Bogota, Colombia, Caracas, Venezuela, and also Panama. And on that tour, we did TV and the nightclub performances.
And what year was that tour?
Now, I want to say maybe in 73, probably, something like that.
Okay.
Yes.
And when you toured there, did you do similar like pop songs on your shows?
Yes.
And was it just the Vachonettes, or did you tour with other people?
No, it was just us. It was just the Vachonettes, actually.
How long did the tour go for?
Now, that particular tour was like 10 days in each place. So it was pretty good.
So at that time, throughout the 70s, were you doing music full-time?
Yes.
So the Bastionettes were pretty much working all the time. Even if you weren't touring, you were working in clubs and stuff like that.
Yes. So we stayed pretty busy. Yes.
So you actually ended up eventually recording, but you didn't record under the name The Bastionettes when you were with the group. You recorded under the name The Oncoming Times.
Right. We later changed our names because we left the dancing school affiliation, and then we went with Deke Atkins, who became our manager at that particular point in time.
So the first record he put out with on you was called If You Had My Love.
Mm-hmm.
So let me play that record and we can talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is The Oncoming Times with Cheryl Swint singing on it, and this is called If You Had My Love. Okay, that was just The Oncoming Times with If You Had My Love. And if you're just tuning in, I have solo artist and member of The Oncoming Times, Cheryl Swope, here in the studio talking about her music. So do you remember what year that record came out? Maybe around 72, something like
72
that?
72 or 73, I believe.
And you had talked about touring Europe. I mean, sorry, touring South America.
Yes.
But when you did that, I think some of the time, at least, you already changed your name to The Oncoming Times.
Yes.
So did you tour as The Oncoming Times?
Yes, we did. It was an opportunity for us. We left the dancing school. We had an opportunity to record, so that's when we changed the name and became The Oncoming Times.
Do you remember where you recorded that single?
I believe that one was, I think that was in New Jersey, too.
Okay.
I believe that one was in New Jersey, too.
And so did that get any play in the city?
Oh, yeah, all around.
Okay.
Yes, in the city here and a couple of other cities as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was telling you off the mic, it had a very kind of Chicago sound also. It sounded kind of like the Emotions.
Yes.
And so what? One thing that was interesting is that record came out also on Deke Atkins' Duo label.
Mm-hmm.
But then you ended up signing or at least cutting a whole album, and that was released on the Turbo label out of New Jersey,
yes,
which was Sylvia and Joe Robinson's
yes,
record label, and they obviously they had the Moments and a lot of
oh,
other.
Oh yes, oh yes, yes.
So
a lot of great artists.
Did you sign a contract with them, or was it all through Deke that happened?
It was still all through Deke. Yeah.
And so do you remember how you came about the name, The Oncoming Times?
I think we were all together, and we were thinking about taking these pictures, and we wanted to have something futuristic.
Okay.
And I think that's how we became The Oncoming Times.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
And so you went to New Jersey, and you recorded a whole album, and I was looking at the other records you did, and they were mainly like Chicago writers or the Detroit guys, Brothers of Soul, but on the album that I was looking at, they're all New Jersey writers.
Yes, yes, yes.
So when you recorded the record in New Jersey, did they do anything with it? I know that they recorded a lot of material, but they didn't promote it very well.
Right. The airplay that we got, I know, was because of Deke, you know.
Okay.
He could usually get the airplay.
Okay.
So what we got through him. And he promoted it in a lot of different cities as well.
But was that first record, If You Had My Love, that was a bigger hit than
yeah,
the Turbo single?
That was.
So on Turbo Records, they released, they had a whole album, and then they released two songs. One was called Sweetness, and the other was called The Solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to play The Solution just because it's interesting.
Okay. You Bring Out the Sweetness, I think, was the one that we got a lot of airplay.
Yeah, that was the A side of the record.
Yes, that was the A side.
But The Solution was interesting as kind of an artifact of the time, talking about
it was.
Like revolution.
Yes.
So I'm going to play, and plus it goes along with what you were saying about the Oncoming Times being a modern group
at that time, yes.
So this is the Oncoming Times. With The Solution. Okay, that was just the Oncoming Times with the B-side of their second single that was called The Solution, like a 70s protest kind of song. And one thing that was interesting was that we didn't mention was earlier in the show, a guy named John who sang with a group called The Marlins called up. And he said he recognized the first Cheryl Swoop record I played. And Cheryl was saying that, when I was asking who the group was, and she was saying she thinks the group was the Marlins.
I think that was them.
Okay.
And I apologize for not remembering your name.
So, John, thanks for calling up. And
thanks, John. Forgive me, John.
But, yeah, but on the other records, it was the Brothers of Soul singing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he was like, he called up and he was like, yeah, but who's the group on that record? I know who that is.
So his ear did not fool him.
So we had talked, so that Oncoming Times album came out around 1972, and you had toured, you just talked about how you did your South America tour mm-hmm. after that came out as the Oncoming Times.
Right.
When you did your tour, did you perform any Oncoming Times material?
Yes, we did some of our songs, yes.
Do you know if you sold any records in South America?
I don't think we sold any records. I don't think we took any records with us then. No, I don't think so.
And so can you talk about, so did you do any other big tours as the Vachonettes?
That was the biggest. Those were the biggest ones. The one that we did with Jackie Wilson was a nice tour.
Where was that?
That was when we did Lake Tahoe in Sacramento, California. I can't remember the year, though. I can't remember the year, but we did a couple of clubs with him. Tahoe Sahara is where we were.
Okay.
In one of the room, you know, the lounge shows. It was really interesting performing with him. He was such a wonderful guy.
Okay.
He was really wonderful.
Do you remember how many days you did with Jackie Wilson?
We went out on tour. Maybe that might have been for about a month.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that, if I remember correctly.
So how long did the Vachonettes stay together?
Wow, I think soon after that, one of the girls decided she wanted to live a normal life.
Okay.
Which is what happens when you're with groups, and she said she wanted to settle down, she wanted to get married, and I think that's when we decided to break up.
Was that, do you remember what year, maybe 70s?
I don't remember the
was
year,
it
but
mid-70s?
It was in the 70s. Yeah, I would think in the mid-70s, yes.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting is a lot of groups I talked to decided to sort of settle down and break up, but it was after years of trying and not being successful. But you were actually touring professionally and
we were
successful.
Life. Yes, God has been good to me, and he has kept me throughout my career. And I can say that I performed in some of the better clubs, and I've just been blessed, you know, and I'm grateful for that.
And I know you continue to do some other music stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
One thing I wanted to ask you about is you're listed as a writer on a record I have by a different female group called The Teaks.
Yes.
And that's written by you and Mickey Farrow and Rodney Massey.
Yes. We were down at the Jerry Butler Workshop.
The Writer's Workshop.
Yeah, the Writer's Workshop. We would go, Bill and I would go down there.
Bill Brown,
Bill
you're
Brown,
talking about?
Yes.
Of the Shades
yes.
of Brown.
Mm-hmm. And we were together at that time. So we used to go down and we wrote, you know, some tunes with, like you say, with Mickey and Rodney Massey and Billy Butler. All of us were down, you know.
Yeah, I know some of the main writers were Chuck Jackson and Marvin Yancey.
Oh, yeah. They were there too. Yeah. We had a good time together.
How did you know Billy Brown?
I met Bill, I think, at the radio station, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
That's when I first met Bill, at the radio station. And I think at that time, he was probably part of the group.
Part of the Shades of Brown.
Part of the Shades of Brown, I think, if I remember correctly. Yes.
And when you did that, were you still a member of the Oncoming Times, or was that after the group broke up, you started doing more writing?
Yeah, after the group broke up, I started to do more writing.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. And then Bill and I actually got together and performed, and we actually formulated another group called Two Plus the Sounds of Theory.
Two Plus the Sounds
of
Theory.
Yes.
When did that group form?
I think that came after the breakup of the Oncoming Times, so maybe the latter part of the 70s. I'm not real good with the years.
Okay, yeah, I know it's hard.
You know, it's
in
hard
hindsight.
Looking back. But around that time, yes. And we would do a lot of clubs around the city. We did Ratso's and Mr. Kelly's and clubs like that. So,
okay.
So we had a good run with that as well. And club affairs again. You know, we did a lot with the dancing school. We performed We did vocals for those shows when they needed, you know, vocals and stuff.
Did you ever record as two?
We did, but we didn't release anything. We actually did some recording, but nothing was released. But we really did have some good material. But I think things just kind of happened where, because we did those recordings as well with Sylvia and Joe Robinson up in New Jersey again.
Okay.
We recorded maybe about four singles, but we never put them out. They were never released for one reason or another. I can't remember the particulars now, but...
Yeah, there was another Chicago artist recording in the late 70s with Sylvia, Jimmy Mays and the Mill Street Depot.
Okay.
You don't remember
them?
I don't remember them, though.
Okay. No, I don't.
But pretty much you were supposed to be out on their label, and they just never put it out.
Right.
And, I wanted to play the song that you wrote, and then I can play something you've done recently,
okay.
And we can talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is the record that you wrote by a group called The Teaks, and this track is called Why Must It Be? Okay, that was just a group called The Teaks. That track was called Why Must It Be? And that track was written by Cheryl Swope, Rodney Massey, and Mickey Farrow.
Yes.
So, we were just talking about how you had written it as part of the Writer's Workshop.
Yes.
Can you tell the listeners like what the Writer's Workshop was?
It actually was a venue that writers would come together from Chicago, basically. And it would be a way that we could express ourselves and get material recorded. And different producers that knew of the workshop would come and listen to songs, and they say, we want that one or we want this one. So it was an outlet for us.
So, and did Jerry Butler form the workshop?
Yes.
So did it have like a location?
Yeah, it was actually on Michigan, 14th and Michigan, upstairs.
So they had an office?
Yes.
And how often would you go there?
Not on any regular basis, but, you know, you felt like going and sitting down, almost kind of like jamming, you know, how you go and you play and you do music together and express yourself.
So people
let's try this. We sit down and start playing something. Somebody sit down at the keyboard, start playing, and say, "Oh, wait, let's try this on that." You know, so it was really a great thing. It was great.
So people were just kind of, writers would just hang out,
yes,
and write,
yes,
material.
Yes.
Were there a lot of songwriters there?
A lot. Yes.
Okay.
A lot. My friends that I remember, Billy Butler and Mickey Farrell and Bill Brown, Rhonda Hannibal. It was quite a few.
Okay.
Quite a few.
And did you, when you were writing the material, did you cut like a demo version that you could play for the producers? Or how did it work?
They
just come and listen to you?
I think they would, hear us while we were composing. Yeah, I think basically that was how it was. I don't think we laid any demos. They just was up there. We play it and sing it for them, you know, right on the spot.
Okay. And did you write any more material there that was not released?
Not particularly there, no. I did write a few songs of my own that I didn't record, but not there. That was, you know, during that time.
When did you write those songs of your own?
Let's see. I did about four more songs right after that. That probably the end of the 70s.
Okay.
78, 79 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, 78 or 79. And I never recorded them. Maybe I will record them now. You know,
okay.
Because there's still things that sound all right.
So, and we had talked about how in the late 70s you were with Billy Brown and with a band called The Sounds of Theory.
Yes.
And you and Billy were called Two.
Yes.
Do you know how long Two stayed together?
Quite a few years.
But into the 80s.
Years, yes, into the late 80s, yes.
Yeah, I think he mentioned doing shows in the 80s
yes,
also.
Yes, yes.
And then had you done any music stuff since the 80s?
Actually, yes. I actually, in 2002, recorded, and released a gospel sing.
Okay.
I wrote all the songs CD, a gospel CD, I mean.
And so before then, you hadn't recorded or released anything?
I had not, no, not since Bill and I had recorded.
So what's the CD, what's the title of the CD you released in 2002?
The title of the CD is Living for the Lord.
Okay.
And
it's under your full name, Cheryl Swope
Dupre. Yes, my married name as well. I added that to the end of it, yes. And on the CD, it was really a wonderful experience because my uncle is now deceased, who played with the Count Basie's orchestra. He was lead trumpet player for over 35 years. He played one of my singles with me, and I featured him on one of them. And actually, maybe you might want to play that one. I don't know.
Yeah, that one's called Praise His Holy Name. Should
yes.
I play that one?
Mm-hmm, maybe so. Let's play that one.
Okay, well, yeah, it's great that you were able to get a recording with him.
Yes, 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 because he passed away actually 2 years ago.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is Cheryl Swope Dupre off of her gospel CD that she put out in 2002, and this track is called Praise His Holy Name.
I love you, Lord, with all of my heart. Lord, with every part of me, hallelujah.
Okay, that was just Cheryl Swope Dupre with a track off of her 2002 gospel CD called Praise His Holy Name. Let me just say you still have a really nice voice.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
That was actually a really nice cut, actually.
Thank
I really
you.
Liked it.
Thank you.
And that track also featured your uncle.
Yes, George Sonny Coleman.
So, yeah, that was overall a really nice cut. So
thank you.
Are you still doing gospel music?
Absolutely. Every day of my life.
So do you sing mainly in church? Are you recording again, too?
I'm looking forward to record again.
Okay.
I haven't set a date yet, but I'm looking forward to doing something really soon.
And is there some way that people can get your CD that we just played?
actually, I did have a website that I haven't kept up right now, so I'm gonna get this established again.
Okay.
And I've got to reorder CDs because I don't have any more CDs.
It's out of print.
Yes. No, it's not out of print, but we're gonna get we're gonna be able to have a website.
Okay.
That you'll be able to come on to.
So yeah.
It'll probably be We Do Pray One.
Okay, as the name of the website.
But you can contact me through that website as well. WeDoPray1@yahoo.com is where I can be contacted.
That's your email now.
That's my email now. Yes.
Okay, so if people want to contact Cheryl and get that CD or ask about her future music, you can email her there.
Yeah.
So one thing I feel really bad I forgot to ask is I don't think I ever asked you the members of the Oncoming Times. I asked who the original singing bassinets were.
Okay.
Who were the members of the Oncoming Times?
They were myself, Cheryl Swope at the time, Nancy Goley, Bobby Bester, and Sonia Frank.
And were any of those singers in the original singing bassinets?
Two of them were.
Which two?
Bobby Bester and Sonia Frank.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what any of them are doing today?
Actually, I don't. I really don't. I know that they are in California. Of course, probably doing great things.
Okay.
But we've lost contact in terms of, we haven't seen each other since the anniversary of the dancing school, the 70th anniversary, was when we were all got together again. So.
When was that?
That was a couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
And is the dancing school still around?
Yes, still around. We just celebrated the 75th a year ago, I think. Yeah, I think it was a year ago.
Where are they located now?
So they don't have a location of their own. They're in Franklin Park.
Okay.
Hamilton Park on the south side of Chicago.
And they still take new students?
Oh, yeah, they still take in new students and everything, and they still have their annual performance in June.
It's great that an institution like that can stay around for so long.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And still going strongly, too.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, I have to say thanks so much for coming down and telling your story. You had a great story.
Thank you so much, Bob, for inviting me.
Do you have any last words for the listening audience?
Actually, I've enjoyed being with you this evening, and I pray to have more music coming your way soon.
Yeah, look, keep an eye out for it.
Okay,
this last record I'm going to play is another one of Cheryl's solo records. This track is called Run to Me.